Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Very good. Now, Mary, you're going to give us a headline of what we're going to go
through. We have a full agenda today. We have a number of military issues we're going to be discussing, including the fact that today is Women's Veterans Day. We are going to talk about the Hunter Biden trial verdict and the Second Amendment. We're going to talk about the continuing lawfare against President Trump. We're going to talk about inflation. And we are going to talk about our upcoming CCTA meeting. And we are going to ask our audience for some participation, and we'll give you the information on that at the end of the program. So let's start out with Women's Veterans Day.
Hi, this is Pat. I had an opportunity today to go to the second annual Women's Veterans Appreciation Luncheon held at the Convention Center. And it was a wonderful event because there were women there from all the services except the Coast Guard and the Space Force. Everybody else was there. They played everybody's anthem, you know, their
song,
so we could all stand up. And I know this is a surprise to people, but the Marines were particularly raucous. So it's not just the men, it's the women too. We had a guest speaker, E.T. Mitchell, who's a Craven County commissioner, and she's a Navy vet. And she had a very interesting speech. And she brought up the fact that all of us women, because we had a couple of younger people in there, but most of us, you know, were the old gray-headed, grizzled veterans. She said everybody had one of those stories they could tell about when I went in, the men told us we didn't belong there and we had to work twice as hard and no. And she said everybody's got that story, which is true. That's something that united all of us. We could all talk about that. And I suspect young women today can still talk about it, although there have been lots of changes. And we had a second speaker, and she was from the VA, and she talked about all the changes that have happened in the VA to cater to women veterans. And she made a plea. She said, if you as a woman had gone to the VA back in the day and were disappointed at the services, please come back because we've expanded them. And she talked about a whole host of services, including IVF, that's artificial insemination, thank you. All kinds of stuff that benefits particularly women. So it was a really great opportunity to go, and I'm so glad I went. I got the invitation yesterday, and I didn't know it was Women's Veterans Day, but it's observed on June 12th, every June 12th in the United States. And it's a date chosen to mark the anniversary of the Women's Armed Services Integration Act.
You know, Pat, knowing some folks from back in World War II, and when we lived in Massachusetts, and we knew one of the gentlemen that owned an auto garage, he and his wife both at that time were responsible for ferrying aircraft all around the United States during World War II.
And they had a special name for that women's corps.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember what it is either.
Besides, was it Rosie the Riveter, which was the non-military aspect of it, but yet this women's corps had to learn to fly all of the military aircraft and do whatever else. I mean, so they were unsung heroes.
I've seen articles about them. I've read the articles and seen the pictures of the women. that were those transport pilots. And that was quite an achievement.
Yeah. There was a clock that they had to stay
by. Particularly in that time, because women were not necessarily recognized as airplane. I mean, Amelia Earhart opened a lot of doors, but she was a pioneer mm-hmm. in terms of women in aircraft.
Right. Well, since we're talking about the military, this is a feel good story from D-Day, from the D-Day 80th anniversary. How many of you have seen Band of Brothers?
Yes.
Yes,
I've seen that.
We've been talking about that. I've watched that so many times I've had to take a break. But if you haven't seen Band of Brothers, it's an HBO show, and it is amazing. It's about the 101st Airborne, the first parachutist. And it starts out with them at Camp Tocoa in Georgia, training for airborne. And what makes this significant in this story is that four of the actors that played in that went back to Camp Tocoa and trained to jump. And they went to D-Day at Normandy, and they jumped with the other parachutists that were jumping. And there were four other members of the cast that went to the celebration. And they all were very sincere and very moved by their desire to keep alive the name of the veteran they had played in Band of Brothers. Every time one of these Memorial Day, Veterans Day, one of these come around, military.com, which is for military members, has what you should watch on TV, and they have all the movies that have a military, including old John Wayne movies and, you know, all of them. And Band of Brothers is normally one of them. And it played continuously on the week of Normandy. So if you haven't had a chance to watch it, I wholeheartedly recommend that you watch it, because it is so moving. So there's a feel-good story. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to mention that during World War II, Hollywood played a major role in helping support the war effort with some of the films that they made and their bond drives and the things that they did. And I'm not sure we have anything today that's the equivalent of that coming out of Hollywood. I don't think we do.
I think the movies that come out of Hollywood now show all the veterans as conflicted. They've all got PTSD. They all want to join murder squads.
Yeah.
One of the things that Mitchell talked about at the luncheon was that there's 8,000 to 12,000 Marines moving out into the economy, and that the bad press that the veterans get make corporations and businesses reluctant to hire veterans because of this negative publicity. When you think the word veteran, you think of Mr. PTSD, or, you know, so many veterans committing suicide. What is it, 11 a day?
And that was the same when I got out of the service in the end of the 1960s, the very end of the 1960s.
Right, Vietnam. What,
Vietnam era, that because you were in the service, you had to be tapioca.
Right.
Well, you were, if I remember right, you were told by a personnel manager that they would not hire anyone who had served during the Vietnam era, because they just assumed if you served during that time, you were messed up.
Yeah, look at the movies you were watching, The Deer Hunter, where all those guys came home, you know, crazy out of their minds. So Hollywood hasn't done veterans any good. And that's too bad. E.T. Mitchell said we need to change that perception, and we ought to tell people how lucky they are to hire a veteran. When I was a district attorney back in New Mexico, I had a lady working for me, and she was going to be the new budget officer. And she didn't know how to write a budget. And so we had a brand new governor. He wanted us to write a budget like they do in business. with a vision statement and a mission statement. Well, mission statement and vision statement right up my alley is, you know, military. So I said, well, let me do it. So blew on my fingers, sat down, tappity, tap, 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 vroom, here you go. How did you learn to do that? I said, in the military. And the thing about being in the military, the thing that I've really taken to heart is that you don't tell the colonel, I can't do that. We don't want to do that, colonel. It's too hard. You need to ask for something else. If the colonel tells you to do something, you find a way to get it done. And that's just the way it is. And that's one thing that military veterans take with them when they leave the service. If they ask you to do something, find a way to get it done. And that is a character trait that is enormously valuable because when you hear about the Gen Z people today, they don't have that work ethic.
No, they don't.
They don't. So.
You know, and I think when you mentioned Hollywood, Mary, that if you look, there was a time in which Hollywood reflected the values of this country in a lot of their movies. You look at some of the movies from the 30s and 40s, and you see those values were emphasized. Now it's the opposite. I rewatched the movie the other night called Collateral Damage, and it's a movie with Tom Cruise, and it's about this guy that comes in, and he's a hired killer, and he's going in, and he's... And the violence, the use of weapons, all these things that the left professes to be opposed to, they glorify it in these movies. These movies are full of all kinds of violence. There's no moral story that actually wins at the end. And, you know, it's like these actors that wouldn't want to come out and support more traditional values, they're afraid to because of how Hollywood general would react towards them.
Well, it's interesting, too, that the feel-good movies that reflect our values rather than the garbage they're feeding us tend to do very well. And I point to Top Gun 2 Maverick, mm-hmm. which was not the most deep intellectual movie you'll ever see, but it was fun. It was Star Wars off an aircraft carrier. I mean, it was just, and it did very well at the box office.
It was about a hero.
Yes.
We don't have heroes.
A real hero.
Yes. Well, a fake hero, but a hero nonetheless.
Do you want to bring up, there's one more thing I want to bring up before we...
Well, I can just briefly mention that since we're talking about the military, in the defense budget proposal that's coming up, the White House strongly opposes a proposed 19.5 pay hike for junior enlisted troops. And the Pentagon is saying how this would help them recruit and retain.
And with the amount of money that we're sending to Ukraine, it seems like we could give our troops a raise. I'm sorry, that is just my attitude.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. I think we're going to even come back with a little bit more military stuff, I hope. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you have more information.
I just have one more brief item about the defense budget, since the two parties are fighting over it. The Republicans are teeing up what they call anti-woke amendments to the defense bill, and they include one to repeal a 2022 Pentagon memorandum that authorized paid leave and reimbursement of travel costs for service members seeking abortions. Another from Representative Rosendale of Montana would ban military health plans from covering hormone treatments for transgenders or sex reassignment surgeries, and other Republican amendments would ban drag shows, radical gender ideology, or pornographic material and promotion of critical race theory. Those are probably all going to end up in the trash, but that's part of the vote fighting during the run-up to the defense bill.
But you have to commend the Republicans that are initiating these for doing it.
At least they're
saying
it.
All of these things. You know, you talk about why people don't sign up for the military. When you go to the military, you've got to believe in the principles of this country. That's what you're fighting for. You're not fighting for the salary. You don't go into the military voluntarily because you want to make money. You go in there in part because you believe in the principles and you want to fight for this country. But when the country is reflecting and the military is reflecting all these woke ideas, people they're not going to relate to that. The kind of people that are going to volunteer are not going to relate to that. And I don't think there's going to be any solution to this problem until we get a change at the top.
You know,
when we got to have to get a new president, we have to get the generals and the Secretary of Defense to change all this around and go back to a basic military that believes in the principles and fighting to make this country what it should be.
Yeah, the military is never supposed to be a social experiment. It was,
but it has been since
Obama.
No,
even
earlier.
Earlier than that.
Since Truman.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, when Truman authorized black troops, he separated the Air Force out from the Army. Through the years, we've done, women, big influx of women in 1974 to try to save all volunteer force. Of course, they threw the women in there without any preparation to the men. That was a giant experiment. The Air Force said, let's throw them in there and see how they do. There have been lots of social experiment in the military because the Congress has them as a hostage populace. Let's try this and see how it works. Any rate.
So adding on to that experiment.
Since we were talking about second annual Women's Veterans Appreciation Day, there's pluses and minuses of women in the military. And one of the things that a lot of women have said they've faced and suffered from was military sexual trauma. And Bob just handed me an article dated June 10th, Coast Guard Academy official resigns, claims she was directed to lie about abuse. And the article details how the Coast Guard has been hiding claims of sexual abuse since 1983. And they didn't tell the victims that they were entitled to VA disability benefits. And when the lady that was in charge of talking to the victims, they went back and had, she said, emotional meetings with some of the victims whose cases were never adjudicated. She said they really resented it because the Coast Guard was ripping off the scabs they had formed over that and, reintroducing it into their lives. So the Senate launched an inquiry in September. The scandal has pressured the Academy to address its culture, especially as Congress mounts its investigation. So we shall see how this goes.
The big news this week, or one of the big stories this week, was the conviction of Hunter Biden on lying on his gun purchase form. And my first reaction to that is, based on the evidence that was before the public, there was no question that he was guilty. But when you think about it, the laptop was introduced as evidence and as being valid. This was probably the only crime that he could be tried on that didn't involve the rest of the Biden family and didn't involve some very questionable things on that laptop. And this is not equal justice under the law. The evidence here was overwhelming. They did not have to take a law and go past the statute of limitations and do all that stuff. And I'm going to go to Pat, our resident lawyer, and ask for her opinion on this whole thing.
Well, the thing about the trial is it took them 6 days, and part of the defense strategy was to parse the idea that he was an addict. It's interesting to me that the jury only deliberated 3 hours, and according to an article I read this morning, and when they first went in, typically when a jury goes in, the first thing they do is take a vote to go around, where is everybody, to see if they're already unanimous or if they're going to have to fight over it. And the article said the jury was evenly split, 6-6, find him innocent, find him guilty, that several of the jurors afterwards were interviewed and said that the last witness that Biden called was what, his daughter?
His daughter, yes.
His daughter, and that she was the one that convinced them to find him guilty because of her timeline of when he was meeting with his drug dealer. So that kind of backfired. But typically, when a jury goes in, if you look at how long it takes them to deliberate, it means that they've got a split, and they're trying to either, depending on which side is the smallest, they're trying to convince them to get on board so everybody's unanimous. This one only took 3 hours, so that's amazing. What I find interesting now is the articles that are coming out about how he's going to appeal this and what his appeal strategy will be. And they're saying that his appeal strategy is he's going to appeal it on the basis of the Second Amendment. The Bidens have no shame. They're hypocrites. They have no shame. His dad just gave another speech about how he wants to ban our guns, and he brought up the old conundrum about if those people think they can win a civil war with the federal government, they're going to need an F-15, not an AR-15. And
don't forget, he's told us to step out on the porch and take a couple of shotgun shots into the air to
get rid of intruders.
Get rid of intruders.
Right. Yeah. But at any rate, they're going to go after whether it's constitutional to prosecute somebody for having a weapon while you're high, whether it's drugs or alcohol. We'll see how that comes out. But it's hypocritical, in my opinion.
An interesting statement. Last night we were watching the Hannity's show, and he was talking about the fact that the laptop has now been validated and verified as being true and not Russian interference. So that also opens up the rest of the Biden family, if anybody in the DOJ is going to do it, which is where the questions come in, where again, Pat, the equal justice under the law.
Well, I understand that the statute of limitations, they've drugged this out for so long, statute of limitations have run on a lot of stuff they could have been prosecuting him on. I don't know how much of that would include stuff that's on that laptop.
Well, there's still a pending trial, and I don't know whether he's been indicted or not yet, on the tax evasion.
No, yes. He's been indicted.
But what I'm saying is there is still a trial or going to come up. And that's going to potentially involve the rest of the Biden family, James Biden, the uncle, and because they're going to have to track down where all that money went and whether it was laundered and the taxes that were not paid on it. And that would incorporate the rest of the family. That, I think, is probably more worrisome to the Biden family than this particular issue.
I was going to say, going way back, I believe in a tax course that I took, there is no limitation on tax evasion going back into history.
Really? Statute of limitation?
There's no statute of limitations on tax evasion. If they can show that you've done some tax evasion, they'll keep going back.
Yeah, I just want to say, if he wants to appeal it, good for him. Because actually there's some commentary that says this should have just been pled guilty, don't even get it in the newspapers and stuff, just plead guilty and move on. So now he's wanting to appeal it, so it's going to stay in the news cycle. I say let him do it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, his dad announced during the trial that he would not pardon him.
Can he commute his sentence?
Well, he doesn't have a sentence yet.
Well, I'm just saying.
But
not much difference.
But he says he's not going to pardon him. And I would say, well, let's just see if Biden loses the presidency on his way out the door if he doesn't pardon his son. Because I don't believe that for one minute. Now, as far as if his son gets jail time, if his son gets a sentence that's really harsh and he doesn't like it, he's going to want to appeal it. If his dad pardons him, he can't appeal it. So it's, you know, a done deal. And he that's his legacy.
But what about commuting? What's the difference between commuting a sentence and parole or forgiveness?
A pardon?
Yeah.
A pardon takes away the conviction. And what was the other thing you asked about?
Commute the sentence.
Oh, commute the sentence. The conviction stands. He just doesn't have to serve the time.
But that's probably what will happen.
I just want to mention that we have been joined by Kim Fink and Glenn Fink. So those are the other two voices that you're hearing.
What? Where did they come from? What?
They disappeared.
Where are we going?
Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about the continued lawfare against President Trump and the attempt to take the liquor licenses away from his country clubs in New Jersey.
And his gun permit from
New
York.
And his gun permit.
Okay. Folks, I think that's a hint that I'm supposed to ask us to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters, Mary.
I want to mention the fact that four of the hostages taken by Hamas on October 7th were rescued this week. Three of them were in the home of a journalist for Al Jazeera. Now, Al Jazeera is denying that that particular journalist worked for him, worked for them. But the thing to note here is all four of them were in civilian homes. They were in an apartment building, a high-rise building in Gaza, in people's houses. So when Hamas starts screaming about civilian casualties, it may be because those civilians are working for Hamas. And the head of Hamas has come out and said, we have Israel where we want them, because if they win this war, they'll have so many casualties from Hamas that the world will turn against them. So that's something we need to be aware of, that this is a propaganda war as much as it is a military war. And I want to mention one more thing, tangentially related. One of the things that the Trump administration understood that the Biden administration does not understand is economic war. When Trump released American drilling, the world price of oil dropped, and Iran and Russia ran into severe economic problems. Under Trump, Russia would not have invaded Ukraine because they couldn't afford to, because we were energy independent and we were exporting natural gas and we were exporting oil. Iran was prevented from selling their oil and their economy was going down and the Ayatollahs were in danger of being overthrown. That is an economic war. Countries don't get invaded in economic war, and the military does not have to mobilize in an economic war. Right now, we have American troops on a pier in Gaza being exposed to mortar attacks every day.
Are you talking about the one they built out in the sea?
Yes, yes. It's been repaired.
It's been repaired?
Yes, been repaired. And our guys are under attack every day. It is a miracle that we have not lost
it
any.
It has now resumed its fencing operation for stolen goods.
Yes, Hamas so far has pretty much stolen everything they've tried to give in aid. So anyway, that's where that is.
Just to reinforce what you're saying, Mary, when Trump left office with the sanctions he put on Iran, their total budget or their resources amounted to about $6 billion. Mm-hmm. Now it's estimated that since Biden lifted those restrictions, that their net worth now is over $80 billion. So they have plenty of funds to support terrorist groups all over the globe and expand their influence in Ukraine and these other areas where they're supporting Russia. So it's intentional on the part of the Biden regime. It didn't happen by accident.
No, they've also released money to Iran just before October 7th. Now, you can say there's no connection there, but it is an incredible coincidence that they did that.
And they tear on the heartstrings by calling it humanitarian aid.
Yes, which is totally ridiculous.
Alan, you were going to bring up a topic about the elections that happened yesterday on
Tuesday.
Yeah,
there are some good signs of things happening, not only in this country, but interestingly enough, at least in Europe. Europe just finished, in the last few days, they finished their elections, and the trend was very definitely towards conservatism. And there was a shocking changes in certain countries, like France. It's pretty much taken over by the conservatives, and Macron has to completely revamp his parliament now so that they can govern, and they're going to be controlled by conservatives. But the following countries like Germany, Spain, Austria, Hungary, Italy, all these countries dramatically moved towards conservatism, and part of it had to do with some of the issues that we're facing also, inflation. Immigration, that's one of the things that's destroying Europe. You go to these countries, I mean, I spent 2.5 years in Germany years ago, and I wouldn't recognize it now based on the number of immigrants they've taken.
And not just the
other thing is the green energy. Mm. That is another thing that's destroying their country. So those things that we're fighting, these people, at least in Europe, they're beginning to reject it. And that's a great sign. That's a positive thing.
Well, we've seen the farmers' strikes because of the green energy. And we've seen the cattle farmers particularly who've been asked to kill their cattle because of cattle flatulence causing green energy or causing a problem with the environment. And they have revolted against that because the government is trying to take away their livelihood.
That's crazy.
Well, the influx of immigration in Europe is totally changing the society. Yeah. It's not just an influx, but they're changing society. There's all the no-go zones that they have in various sections of Europe.
We have that here.
I know we
yes,
have that
we
here.
Yes, we do. In Sweden, women have been told not to go out unescorted because they will be attacked.
Well, if you look at the crime rates there, the rape has gone up like 250% in the last couple of years in Sweden.
Yeah.
Because, you let all, it's like the people we're letting into this country, most of them are adult males. What are they going to go for their sexual satisfaction?
Well, not something on the.
It's just a problem waiting to explode.
The news today, there was something about ISIS terrorists being.
Yes.
Arrested.
Six of them. Six of them were arrested with connections. And they had, interestingly, they had been vetted coming over the border and they weren't stopped. So what kind of a process? We don't have a process in place.
But what we're dealing with, too, in terms of the immigration into Europe, you're dealing with a society or a culture coming in with the Muslim countries that said if a woman is not a Muslim and if she's not covered from head to toe, she's fair game.
And she's not escorted by a male.
Yes, then she's fair game.
Yeah, that's why it's not just letting people in who want to become Americans. These people are coming in, they don't want to become Americans. They want to live here and benefit from what they can get from being in America, but they want to maintain their culture, which is contrary to what our culture and our principles and our beliefs are. And that's where it gets into cultural destruction, like you mentioned, Bob, and that's what they're experiencing in these countries in Europe. They're fed up with it. We should be fed up with it.
I'm even going to accuse the justice in the Trump trial in New York, because he was born in Colombia. Now, I guess he's a naturalized citizen here, but he still has that Colombia attitude when it comes to jurisprudence.
Yes.
Are you talking about Judge Merchan?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Along with what you were saying, Alan, Tuesday, Breitbart posted a story saying that 75% of American job growth has gone to migrants since 2019. And if you look at the numbers, the government household survey shows that there were 971,000 more U.S.-born Americans employed in May compared to 3.2 million more immigrants.
I see this whole thing as by design and being social engineering. That started a really long time ago, I would say at least 40 years ago, probably more, because you had the emphasis put on going to college. Right out of high school, you had to go to college. If you were going to get a good job, you had to go to college. And the emphasis between the trades and the blue-collar workers or the ditch diggers, the garbage men, the roofers, the carpet layers, the brick layers, those were considered menial and beneath society. Well, then you go to school, and these kids are like, well, I'm too good to French fries, and I'm not going to work at McDonald's, and I'm not going to do that. And then the labor has changed the time because the demand for roofers, carpet people, brick layers, construction has gone up, but the people going into the field has gone down. So the illegals come in mm-hmm. and take those jobs, and they are good workers. They work.
Mm-hmm. But the ones that choose to work.
What we're doing, like you say, I'm not saying that they're not good workers. Probably some of them are. There's some here probably for that economic opportunity. I can understand that. But at the same time, we're hiring these immigrants. The same report showed there were 300,000 fewer native-born Americans employed. So what we're doing, we're not only adding jobs for the illegals, the native-born Americans are losing jobs. But that's not, the truth is in the details. And the Biden administration, they report this, oh, we increased the number of jobs and so on. They don't tell you the truth, which is they're going to immigrate.
They also don't mention that many of those jobs, you have one person in the household working two or three jobs just to make ends meet, and that's a problem, too.
They also don't mention in that like in California, there's a number of restaurants that are closing because they cannot pay minimum wage $20 an hour.
Yeah. Well, this slips into what Alan was talking about. You know, California raised the minimum wage to $20 an hour because now unskilled labor, if you're flipping French fries at McDonald's, you want to make enough money to support a family of four. That's not what McDonald's jobs are.
Never were.
We don't want to pay $20 for a hamburger.
That doesn't taste good.
that doesn't taste good. That's right.
And the other slice of those job reports is how much of it is government jobs. And
yes.
It's a big chunk.
Yes.
I mean, it's a 50% of them or more are government jobs.
That's right. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We will be right back. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to go off on a different tangent, I guess.
We're going to talk for a minute about the CCTA.
Which stands for?
Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. And first of all, I'm going to tell you a little. First of all, our website is cctaxpayers.com. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tuesday's meeting. This coming Tuesday, which is
June 18th, 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock at Stanley Hall, downtown New Bern. And if you've ever been frustrated with your elected officials and you want to see change, have you ever considered being that change? This meeting is a candidate interest forum talking about what it takes to run for political office.
When do you have to, where do you have to go to sign up for an office? What does an office entail? What, you know, what do you need?
What does a campaign entail?
What does a campaign need?
What are the regulations?
What are the regulations dealing with financing a campaign and having a treasurer and stuff like that?
Bob Brinson is currently an alderman for the 6th Ward in New Bern, and he is running for the North Carolina State Senate. He is an experienced candidate, and he will be glad. First of all, he will give his presentation. He will be glad to answer any questions that you have at the end of that presentation.
By the way, he has given this same presentation at other places before he was running for a candidate. This is not a candidate forum. This is a forum on running to become a candidate.
So if you or someone you know thinks that at some point in the future they might want to run for political office in Craven County or New Bern or Havelock or one of the neighboring towns, then you need to be here Tuesday night, June 18th, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall Ballroom. And then another thing that we would like to hear from our audience about what topics you would like to hear on the radio and what topics you would like to see at our public meetings. Now, this can be done anonymously. We don't need to know your name if you don't want to share it. But we need you to email your suggestions to either Bob at cctaxpayers.com or Mary at cctaxpayers.com.
And at your request, we won't share your address.
We will not share information.
At your request.
But there are a lot of issues in our government right now, different things that different people are interested in. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear what information you're looking for. We do have some candidate forums planned. We have some candidates that are going to come speak to us, tell us what they're for. We are a 501c3. We don't support candidates. We don't support political parties. But we do support issues. We want to hear from you what issues you would like to have us talk about and what issues you would like us to support.
Now, you know, I'm going to add a quick thing. In the recent past, we ran short classes on Constitution 101, essentially, another short class on the Federal Reserve banking system and what does it mean. Another class we ran was on C.S. Lewis. I think we did something like that. What classes would you like to see? And a class would be something that might run 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, like on a Saturday morning for a couple of hours. Are there classes you want? Are there things that we need to bring up? The Constitution. Now, the U.S. Constitution, the state Constitution. What other items would you like to hear about or particularly participate in?
We have used a lot of Hillsdale College courses. We have also done classes on the 5,000-year leap, which is a book that talks about what the founding fathers were reading at the time they wrote the Declaration of Independence and what they put into it. These courses are free, and anyone is welcome to come, whether they're a member of the CCTA or not. Our next course will probably start sometime in August or September, and I haven't found it yet, I'm looking for a 2 to 3 week course on the Great Reset so that we can get a better handle on what that is.
Can you define the Great Reset for everybody?
No, that's why I want to do the course.
Unless she told you. No.
If anyone else can define it, I'm willing to listen.
Well, Alan used the Great Reset in talking about what happened in the European elections, but I think when I hear Great Reset, I think of it in the negative term of our country being reset to go backwards.
I think it has a lot to do, too, with globalization.
Yes.
The idea that instead of having individual nations, the Great Reset would restructure things so we would eventually move to a total global government.
Which is why we have to be brought down to the level of the rest of the world.
Yeah, I think
it's connected to Klaus Schwab. And
yes, the World Economic Forum.
World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization.
Yeah, they want to be in charge.
All these things that work through the United Nations. A lot of those things support that Great Reset idea.
Yeah, I would like to reset the United Nations right out of our country. Right.
Oh, I think that's a good idea.
I would support
it. It should properly be renamed 1984.
Yeah.
So.
Well, recently, the good news is recently there was a treaty that the World Health Organization put forward that would have taken away America's sovereignty, and that treaty failed. So there are some people who are awake to what is trying to be done and who are going to stand in the way.
It's just very ironic to me that we host the United Nations facility. We fund most of the debt and the bills. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, the United Nations votes against
our interests,
our best interest as a sovereign country.
And the traffic jams in lower Manhattan are caused by cars with diplomatic plates
are
double parked because they know they won't get tickets because of their diplomatic plates. We need to kick all of them out of New York, turn it into luxury high-rise apartments, and enforce the parking bans. That's all.
And we also look
as you bring
that up, there was recently a Lower Manhattan commuter fee instituted.
Oh yes,
something like $17 a day.
The congestion fee.
Congestion fee, but congestion. No, she held back on it.
Well, it was finally rescinded. But did it ever apply to the diplomats' cars?
I don't think it ever started, Bob.
I think it was in place.
And what happened was the people, particularly like the firemen, who were trying to commute to their workplace.
Fire station.
were, you know, $17. If you're a fireman, you don't make millions of money. And $17 one way just to go to work is a pretty good chunk out of your income.
The left is very creative in coming up with new ways of taking your money. And that has always been what they've done. And the taxation, now they're talking about letting Trump's major tax cut expire. And if you look at inflation, what is inflation? Inflation is nothing more than a tax.
On everybody.
On everybody indefinitely. So it's inflation's up 20-21%. And we're all paying that increased taxes because the whole idea from the left is you take from the people who are working and you give it to the people who aren't working. That's the essence of communism. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Have you ever noticed when the prices go up for inflation, when inflation supposedly stops or gets under control, the prices never go back down? Somebody posted on Facebook today a picture of gasoline prices in 1972. They were 29 cents a gallon.
Yeah. Yes, and that was highway robbery back then. Yeah. Folks, again, we're right now, we're talking, just randomly talking these things out. But what topics are a hot topic to you? We need to know, what are you peeved about? What topic would you like to explore? If you need to come on the radio show and be with us and state your position or whatever else, I don't care which position you want to state. You're going to come on the show and you got to defend your position, but you're allowed to state your position.
Yeah, and if you can express the way some of these issues are affecting you personally and what you would like to see done, that would be helpful to us. And or tell us what topics that you might want more information about. Like we mentioned, this globalization, you know, the Great Reset, green energy, whatever topics we could be your source of information to help give you the information you need to make decisions that are important to correct these problems.
And also, are we more interested in local, state, or federal, world? Because the topics are different everywhere, but just in the last couple days, I saw a bill draft online that I was filed by the left, and so I am immediately suspicious. But I read it, and I said, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's a really good idea. And it has to do with transparency of public meetings. And I'm all for that. And I couldn't figure out why. And then Miss Attorney Pat over here found an article. I'll let her tell you what was in it.
It was a report on the legislature, and apparently the night before they had a budget vote, they slipped in $100,000 for one of their pet projects.
Tim Moore's pet project.
And
just happens to be in the new Senate district that he's running for, and that it's the DOT slush fund that the money came out of. And I am so sick and tired of these politicians padding their own pockets with taxpayer dollars.
Well, that's why the Dems are pushing transparency, open records, and open government records, because they didn't know about the last minute slide in. Because like she said, open records is not something that the leftists normally support.
And as we look at the legislature, I mean, all bills go to the Rules Committee and they finally get worked on when, oh yeah, we'll just add this one extra paragraph or whatever. Again, as you said, Kim, what's your hot topic? State, local, worldwide? What is it?
As an example of the nonpartisanship, Kim just pointed out something the Democrats got right and the Republicans got wrong.
Well, I think that there's every politician who is more concerned about their next election than the good of the people. I don't care what party they are. They're not for the people.
They need to be exposed. They need to be voted out of office.
Amen.
Well, you know, so we need some last words. What, folks, you just need to please write.
Is this the end of our show?
Well, this is coming up on the end of the show.
I'd like to say that, you know, we see what happened in Europe. It can happen in this country. We need to turn things around. You don't turn things around by ignoring it. There comes a time when compromise with evil is not a good strategy. We have to band together. This is a wonderful opportunity, this election coming up. We have to make it really significant. And I heard Trump the other day, he talks about too big to rig. The fact that if the majority of the people come out and support a conservative movement, that no matter what the left do, it won't be enough. Now, I'm not sure I believe all that, but I'm sure it's harder to change something that's overwhelming than it is something that's a small. So that's what I think we need to do. We all need to accept our responsibility.
Folks, again, thank you for joining the show. Again, if you've got a gripe that you want to send in or a suggestion, please write to bob@cctaxpayers.com or mary@cctaxpayers.com. We want to hear from you. Again, thank you. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Stop in at East 70 Pawn for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.